I got laid off. I got fired.
But here's the thing. I was a binge guy.
I remember seeing her at the local titty bar.
I feel dirty right now just telling it into a microphone.
We're broken around here.
Working man, it sucks.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Working Class Souls podcast. I'm your host, Ed McGowan, here in the break room with my co-host, Josh Accardo.
Ed, we are embarking on quite the journey today.
Journeying.
Not only are we going to end up in Houston before day's end, if you're listening to this now, but we have a really funny comic that actually just shot his special right down the street. I've heard amazing things about him. You're going to love him. Jake Vivera. Did I nail it?
It's Vivera.
Vivera.
Again.
He got in my head. Jake got in my fucking head.
I knew it.
I did.
I love it.
I told you it was spelled wrong. And it is. I wasn't even going to correct you.
I saw it happen.
Dude, it's so spelled Vivera. You said it the way it's spelled. Any asshole that gets mad about the pronunciation of their name when it's fucking spelled wrong, they should spell it phonetically or they should shut up. That's what I said.
I pride myself, like, as, because with my dyslexia, even in acting, I like go over shit. I'm like, I get this. And I had it. And then when you started saying, by the eighth time, people's names, I shit it out wrong, I'm like,
yes,
dude, I'm going to shit it out wrong.
Dude. I sat down and I saw the glaze hit your eye. You saying that. I was like, oh, this is going to be good.
Never apologize for getting an Eastern European last name wrong. We're dumb fucking gypsies. Our ancestors couldn't spell. You understand? If Czechoslovakians were more literate, that place would still be a country. Dude, that's what I say.
Czech women are so hot.
They are.
They have a whole genre of porn dedicated to them. I digress. Sorry.
I was about to take a turn.
I heard my great-great-grandmother was a piece of ass.
And like the greatest natural tits you've ever seen.
Yeah.
Let's just turn the camera.
It was on her. Dude, it was on her tombstone. They put that.
Greatest natural tits you've ever seen.
Yeah. Here lies the greatest pair of natural tits you've ever seen. Of course, her first name was a bunch of consonants all mushed together all Easter. Her name was Kozla, but it was like the hottest woman you've ever seen.
Jake Vivera, what's your worst day job?
Worst day job? Most of them are equally bad in their own separate ways. So I'm going to start off with my first one. I was bricklaying when I was 12 for my father and grandfather.
Wow. That's worse than your 12-year-old job.
Yeah. I was washing dishes at 12. But yeah. Bricklaying.
Masonry.
Bro.
I used to shit talk the 12-year-old dishwashers. Yeah. Uh-huh.
You would throw a brick at a young Adam McGowan.
That's right. I would throw the brick through the window. The kids in my family that were washing dishes, I called them house peppers. That's what I called them.
Feverus,
yes.
He's That's pulled out a putty knife and on a playground.
Right, let me solve this. So every day I pick my son up, there's a masonry temple, I guess you would call it.
The Masons.
That's associated with bricklaying, correct?
I don't know. Well, the Freemasons, that was like some kind of old school,
like secret society,
like kind of thing, right?
I always thought it was associated with bricklaying solely because they operate.
It's called Masons.
Build the city. Freemasons.
Yeah. I mean, Mason is in the name.
The picture of the guy is like laying cement, right?
Yeah.
These dudes are. They have guards out front all the time, and my son is super friendly, 2-year-old kid, and he always goes up to talk to him. And I'm always thinking, like, what's going on in there?
We can't be anything that crazy. Because now it's like, if you're in a secret society that's, it's a cabal that controls everything, the first step to a secret society is don't put the fucking thing on the building. You know what I mean? So everybody who's like, oh, they secretly control everything. It's like maybe 200 years ago. Now they're advertising it. You don't advertise
the Catholic
shit.
Church now.
Right.
They're trying to get people back to the secret society.
Yeah, they're old men that drive around the tiny cars with the stupid hats. That's all they do now.
When I was in Philly, I worked at a TGI Fridays. One of the line cooks could not stop talking about how he got into Freemasons.
Yeah.
He showed me the ring.
The Friars Club before it closed. Comics were like, I'm at the Friars Club. Why?
All right. Case in point that the Freemasons don't run the world. He's a line cook.
Exactly.
Okay. He's not even the GM. He's not even the GM of a restaurant. Like, he would be at least a sous chef if they
With
ran
his connections,
anything.
You should be a sous chef.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. 200 years ago, he would be owning the restaurant. But now he's saying yes, sir.
He's putting up two burgers. He's like, ringing the bell. Yeah.
Uh-huh. He's telling you about it.
Yeah.
A crackhead that works at TGIF trying to impress you about his Freemason. Jason membership.
Show me the ring. Yeah, yeah. He had the air like it's all about to turn around. You see that?
Right. Freemasons, you're merely on sale at best these days. That's what I see.
You're the Coles of secret society, yes. You Freemason.
Yes.
Brick. Building bricks, do you have to make the bricks on your own, or wasn't that serious? You just had the bricks already made?
No, no, no. The bricks are made. I would. What I would do is I would carry the bricks and the cinder blocks to them. I would mix the mortar, because that was harder than carrying the giant things of like bricks and cinder blocks.
What goes into mortar?
Well,
fascinated.
It's basically, if you're a cement or a bricklaying company that has proper equipment and everything, you have a cement mixer. It's those big trucks that like churns them around. We didn't have that. It was just my grandfather, my dad, and my uncle. And then whatever grandkids would work for $4 an hour, you know?
Wow.
And so we would take a giant, like, trough that was maybe 10 by 5, something like that. And I would take a garden hoe, and we would mix buckets of sand, buckets of water, and then these giant bags of cement
mixer. Human concrete mixer, basically.
Yeah. It's the actual concrete mix was these giant bags of what looked like kind of grainy gray flour, but there were these giant bags of it, and you'd mix that, buckets of sand, buckets of water, and then you would take a garden hoe and chop it and mix it until this whole thing was cement.
And that's my question too, is that all it is, sand and water?
No, it's sand and water and the mortar mix.
And the mortar
mix. Yeah, so it's three parts.
So and that goes on top of the brick to put the other brick. And
that goes in between the bricks and sticks them together.
Just for you at home, don't do manual labor.
Or it's sidewalks and stuff like that. Anything cement. Right. Yeah.
I got this great story about my grandfather. My dad would talk about how cheap he was, that he would go down to the Neshaminy Creek, just load the trunk up with sand, to make his own concrete. He broke the frame on that car. He put so much sand in the trunk.
It's heavy.
Did he work in construction?
It's fucking heavy.
Or is it just for house project?
He was doing a new patio.
This is your grandfather that would keep all of his papers by his lawn
chair?
The
other grandfather, but yeah.
That guy ain't fucking collecting sand.
No.
He sounds like a guy that loves his leisure time.
No, the other one, he built horseshoe pits, and he made the with the concrete.
Oh.
Yeah. His whole thing was like, he would lay concrete, and my dad, I'll never forget my dad getting yelled at by him because he brought in real masons with like a truck for their patio at the house. He's like, "What are you doing? What are
you're
you
not going to cement cuck me in my own home?
What are you doing?
Yeah, are they going to fuck my wife too? Are they going to fuck my wife? Are they going to pave my sidewalk and then fuck my wife? Because they might as well at this point.
I can't believe a son of mine.
Ethel, get out here."
Blow this guy. You might as well blow him and snowball your son.
Yeah. He's a Freemason, but he's getting paid today. Yeah.
I just love that story about Jerry Rice, how his dad would throw in bricks. His dad was a bricklayer.
Really?
Oh. And that's how he would train, he said, is his dad would throw him bricks. And that's how he learned how to catch.
Boom. Holy shit.
And he showed a picture of his dad, and he was like one of those country-ass dudes with the Jerry curl, black dude.
Yeah.
Giant black man, and just heaving bricks at him.
Yeah. Dude, when Jerry Rice watched the movie Dodgeball, he was like, if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. That ain't shit. Wrenches are for pussies. I took bricks to the face when I was 7.
I mean, unbelievable.
Yeah,
so
dude, that's
kind
wild.
Of stuff happens on a family-owned business like that where you're doing manual labor? I mean, they must just treat you like one of the guys.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it was at the time my grandfather ran the company, but didn't anymore by then because he was pretty old, so my dad ran it. And yeah, I would just do sort of the grunt work, and it was just sort of, hey, carry everything while we lay the bricks.
This is in Pennsylvania?
Iowa. Yeah.
Iowa.
Oh my God, it's in the winter you're doing it too?
Mostly the summer. Mostly summer. It was like a summer job.
Yeah. So like how many years did you do it?
Oh, just two. It was I did it for 12 and 13.
Yeah, nice.
And that's it was great. Yeah.
Just fucking bricklaying.
Bricklaying.
All day outside.
So you were old enough to legally get a job.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. They paid me less than minimum wage.
Of course.
And I complained to my grandfather about this, who wasn't running the company anymore at the time. I was like, minimum wage right now in Iowa is like $6. I'm getting paid way less than I'm getting paid $4. And that's kind of messed up.
I'm getting immigrant wages.
Yeah, right. And I was born here. I'm an anchor baby. Damn it, pay me. And I told him, I was like, it's significantly less than minimum wage. And my grandfather looked at me. He's like, you can pay $4 to do all this? And I said, yeah. And he says, when I was running the company, I only paid your cousins two. I got to talk to your dad.
Oh, wow. Like, what? So you fucked yourself.
Yeah, what an evil
McGowan
move.
You got a pay cut. Uh-huh.
That's right.
You fucked yourself into a pay cut.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Just got demoted.
Dude, it was. I tried to create a one-boy union. I was a one-boy union.
You didn't even bring in the other cousins with you. You tried to go in for yourself.
That's right.
Asshole.
I was a one-boy union, and I got beat up by the union busters, my grandfather. With their scaly, cracked gravel hands. You know, yeah, the gravel puts pits. Yeah. Dude, their hands were fucked.
Dude, like lizards, bro.
Yeah.
There's no lotion to cure those hands.
No, there's not. Layer. They have pits in them. They have pits. Yeah. They slowly turn them into sidewalks. And all kind of fucked up shit. Not like the smoothed over sidewalks. I'm talking about the sidewalks with bad kids around who scribble their names and dicks and swastikas in them. That's what my grandpa and dad's hands look like.
Swastikas. You know how Richards puts like concrete on his nails to keep them for the guitar?
Oh, does he?
I didn't hear that. A lot of like guitar players that are legit guitar players will concrete their nails. I feel like that's something that bricklayers have, right?
They do. I feel
like
your
grandfather could fucking rip on a banjo.
He could.
No, but
he'd rip the cords in half.
Just exfoliate your skin off your back.
What, no,
here's,
they will.
You're
bald. They will, though. This is what my dad told me at 12. He was like, I don't want you to do this when you grow up. A, it's terrible for your body. B, women hate the way this feels when you have sex. And I was
squeezing a tit with those hands. Fuck.
It will female circumcise a lady if you try to please them. It's crazy. It'll shave it right off.
It's like the guy in Goodfellas, how he cuts the onions, evolve them so your fingers could do on someone's clit. He's rubbing layers of skin off a clit.
He comes
That's
home.
Right.
Jake comes home, he sees Amy's like cleaning the dishes. He's like, oh, no, I got it. He just rubs his hand on it.
I ruined the cast iron pan again.
Little palm olive
on the oven.
Get the grill going.
Hey, we got a tough stain over here. Call Jake.
You let it get rusty. Let me scrape that off of there.
That's like with no glory, one of the jobs. It's like being a pro wrestler in the 80s.
Yeah,
your body's all fucked up, but there's a little bit of glory there, even if you did the indie
circuit.
Pretty
much.
But when you're doing when you're bricklaying, you're just a guy on the line.
Yeah.
There is no story about your body being wrecked, except for, I just built a brick house every day of my life for 40 years.
It's pretty awful. By the time I was 16, I looked and sounded like Mickey Rourke in The Wrestler. It was pretty wild. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
You got a mustache already?
Yeah.
He's got that concrete cough.
That's right.
From breathing it in. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. That's
mortar.
Yeah.
That mortar.
That's
some good mortar in it. Uh-huh.
The teachers in high school. Your son has black lung. What have you been doing to him?
Canary flew out of his mouth.
I tried to cut my finger on the meat grinder like at the end of that movie, but I just broke the thing with my concrete fingers. I just broke the saw.
Yeah, you get
it
like
didn't
a
work.
Deli, you get like a deli job.
Yeah,
you're breaking all the knives.
My buddy's dad was a Portuguese fisherman, legit, like for 30 years from the 60s into the 90s. He said his dad's from the ropes.
He
said his dad's hands were so callous from the ropes. He could take a boiling pot off the stove with no gloves and move it to another.
That's
no problem.
That's wild.
No problem at all.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And yeah, I mean, if you're a lady's going to feel that everywhere. Like, that's going to be awful.
Yeah.
That's going
to
be
a
like
tough
sandpaper.
Woman to be with you.
Yeah.
It would take a tough woman.
Sandpaper nipples. That's right.
But everything's like wearing like an oven mitt, right? Like, so you're just going in, like you're grabbing a boob and you're just like mashing it. Yeah,
you have no
sensitivity.
Yeah, that really bummed me out. And those guys probably like pussy.
Yeah.
Those are the guys that really like pussy.
I imagine. Yeah, yeah.
More so, like, what other joy in your life would you have as a bricklayer but maybe smoking a joint, definitely drinking some schlitz.
That's right.
And fucking.
Yeah.
And the cool thing about it with those crazy Edward Scissorhand fingers or whatever, like, you get to skip foreplay every time. Every time. You just
in. Just your mouth.
Yeah. They just act like, no, I'm just so hot and ready. Just skip that. Just
don't
skip that.
Just use your mouth all over me.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's right.
What other, do you have any other manual labor jobs?
I worked in a warehouse after high school at an organic food factory, not factory, but warehouse. And that was pretty rough too, I guess. You know, it was just long hours lifting a lot of boxes and things like that.
So while you're doing stand up and pursuing it, these are the kind of jobs you're doing? Or
no,
what normally now is like before
Oh, dude, cakewalk now. I work at radio.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I work at Sirius XM. I'm a producer on the Progress Channel. Oh. It's like a liberal talk channel, you know?
That's and, great.
Yeah.
So you work in the industry then?
Yeah, yeah. And it's, dude, it's so much
when
easier
that
than Brickle.
There for a while, too.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I started probably about 7-8 years ago. Yeah. You know, at first I would just kind of fill in on the different talk channels and things. You know, some small permanent spots every week, but you know, not enough for like a full-time job, and then other just a floater, but it was technically part-time, so they didn't have to give me benefits or whatever.
Really, were you doing your podcast there too?
No, I wasn't doing the podcast there. Yeah, it was. I was just kind of filling on different talk channels, and I got a full time spot. Now I was doing full time hours because you can just say yes to as many spots as they offer you, and eventually
they're going to pay you for it. They're just not going to give you the benefits of a full time job.
Yes, yeah. That's how companies get around the whole mandatory thing of giving people benefits. They're like, well, we don't have any. We've got 2 full time employees and a whole army of temps and part time people who just take extra hours.
Yeah,
sometimes.
They backdoor you, just like anything else. Yep. So 7-8 years ago, you get into like basically a job that's in the industry, you know, indirectly. But how do you even get there with all your jobs being warehouses and Brick Lane? And I mean, that's a funny jump.
I don't want to say I completely George Santos'd my resume. I will say I really made my podcast editing, for free experience sound like a college radio
game. I mean, honestly, it's not that far off.
It's not. It's not. And when you compare like the college radio equipment to what they got going on at Sirius, it might as well be podcast editing, because if you're dicking around with, Audacity, Adobe Audition, that's more in line with what you would be doing anyway.
Absolutely.
In terms of the soundboards, they're so different anyway. Yeah. You would need to be retrained as if you had
like
done
they're
it.
Now meshing.
Yeah.
And when I read that, you know, Sirius lost all those subscribers at the end of the first quarter, 350,000.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't read about that.
Yeah, they took a huge hit the first quarter.
This is going out on the internet, right? That's fake news. I don't believe that. That's Russian misinformation. He's spouting Putin lies. This is his podcast, not mine. All right? If he wants to talk the Kremlin and blow his comrade overseas there digitally through this podcast, that's his prerogative. I won't do it. Sirius XM lost no subscribers. They gained that many.
You know what? We'll agree to disagree.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? My guest, and I want you to feel comfortable. Yeah. But the reason why I bring it up is because podcasting is so huge now that I feel like the game that kind of bred podcasts, which is the streaming radio game, is now going to have to kind of align with.
Oh, it's got to be a huge.
Yeah, right.
There's a huge there's a huge amount of competition now.
With they're buying podcasts. God. They spent like $100 million on SmartList. That one that had
tons of money on SmartList.
Yeah, they just had
that was Spotify, but no, Sirius did.
Sirius did that one. Yeah, Spotify did Rogan.
Spending tons of money on podcasts.
Yeah,
iHeart was going to. I think iHeart claimed bankruptcy 2 years ago.
Oh,
I could be wrong, but I definitely
did. I think they did
financial problems. But I know somebody in the game over there for their podcast network, and they are buying them up.
Yeah,
because that's where the money is.
Baby. Yeah, here we go. That's it. Sign up for Working Class Souls. Yeah,
it's kind of funny too, man. Because a lot of the hosts and producers there, like when I first started, would really just shit talk podcasts. Not like some podcasts, but like just as a medium,
as
like
a genre.
And like, guys, you're in talk radio.
Yeah.
In the late 2010s, the evolution of talk radio. I mean, up until the point where Spotify gave Rogan $100 million.
Yep.
I mean, it shocked a lot of these old like boomers
and
working
their money.
They're
back.
Like, "Huh? People are listening to these?" It's like, "Yeah, dude. A lot of people are listening to the podcast."
I mean, people
man.
Are building careers off of it. Like comics that you're like,
"Yeah,
that how'd this guy get on?" You're like, "Oh, his podcast just
blew
up."
Right.
Fuck. Like, I remember in 2006 and 7 and 8, I spent a lot of time in the Sirius building. Coolest fucking thing ever.
Yeah,
that was
it's great
like
there.
The golden era of, like, because Stern moved over.
Yeah,
like, just
Stern
recently.
There, like,
Opie and Anthony would still been there.
Or something like
he moved
that.
Over.
Yeah.
Like, O&A was there.
Yeah. Yep.
And then if you got into that lobby, every celebrity ever that was promoting something would have to come across you. Yeah. So if you were there for 3 hours, you'd run into massive celebrities.
Yeah. Right.
It was awesome.
Cool. So cool.
A lot of them are doing remote now.
It's remote because the pandemic opened up a whole new world.
Yeah, and you'll still see people in there. You'll still, like yesterday, I saw Journey in the Fishbowl. When I got to work, they were playing. Yeah, yeah, dude. He was belting out Wheel in the Sky. Yeah.
He's like a 45-year-old dude.
I was going to say he's older than all of us. Yeah.
He's also 40 years younger than everybody else in the band. Yeah.
That young Filipino boy, only 47 years old.
That guy cooks, bro.
Dude, yeah, it's amazing.
He cooks. He's the man.
It's amazing. Yeah. Uh-huh. So cool.
I'd almost rather see him than Steve Perry.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
live, yeah. But I want to see Steve Perry do one song. Like, if they could bring Steve Perry out for one song and then get him out of there and then bring
duet,
the Filipino...
The two of them duet?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, the earth would explode.
They just kind of, they're like one-upping each other. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who can be more Steve Perry?
So you get in, you fake it, you make it.
Yeah.
But before that, what were you doing that caused you to go, I can't do this anymore. I need something that's...
Oh, man.
A little more stable, indoors, whatever.
Probably the worst job I had, like when I first moved to New York, was real estate, renting apartments.
So you were like a broker.
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
God. Dude, it was a goddamn nightmare.
What year was it?
It was a goddamn nightmare. So this would have been, I mean, it's always their heyday and never. You know what I mean? Like, they're everywhere, but so seven of them are making money, and the rest are barely making rent. It's like a thing called comedy. It's kind of like that.
It's a third world business.
Yeah, yeah. And then people will tell you stuff like, oh, you should get into selling condos in the West Village. And I'm like, yeah, yeah. It's sort of like when you hear people go, oh, you should try doing Madison Square Garden or something. You ever think about playing there? It's like, oh, yeah, why don't I think of that instead of doing this bar show on my way to
SNL?
No,
I never thought of SNL.
It's, yeah, yeah. I told Lorne Michaels to suck my dick, and I'm doing a bar show. Lorne, I don't have time to fucking audition for you. That's right. That's what I told him. Maybe I should, you think I should text him back? You think I should maybe apologize?
No, go. Them. Oh my God. But I always loved that. Like I remember trying to get an apartment here when I first moved here, and every broker it might be the same guy.
Oh.
Same guy, even though they're a different ethnicity.
Yes.
Than the next one.
Yeah.
It was just like the worst.
You deal with the shittiest people in real estate.
And then you gotta meet
the worst.
It seemed like an awful job on his end solely to have to meet up with people. I don't want to meet up with anybody
and
they flake.
Awful. They flake all the time.
Oh, what was one of the craziest shits that ever happened to you there? Like, what?
Oh, probably.
You got to go into people's apartments that still live there, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So what's that like? You see people living in filth?
Yeah. Normally, it's not too bad, though. The stuff where people are still living there, that's not as bad because, for the most part, the management company is not going to show it if it's in too bad a shape. And even when they do, I can warn the client and I can be like, look, they're going to fix it up. They're going to, you know, they can do the math on that one. You know, there was a few times where like squatter, like crackheads and stuff will go into the vacant ones
when
and you'll show
where
an apartment with crackheads.
What area?
Dude. All right. One of my proudest moments as a broker, you know, and I'm not talking, I was not the guy on the real estate shows. I'm like showing open listings. I'd been in the city for 20 minutes and taking people
lost going to listings.
Yeah. I would get sent by a higher broker. Eventually I kind of did it more independent, but I would get sent by another guy sending me to an open listing to a neighborhood I'd never been in, and I'm just lying to the client going, it's a great neighborhood, you know what I mean, I just moved here from Iowa 20 weeks ago. I'd like, I had no idea what I was talking about, you know. And they were like, oh, what's your favorite restaurant? That one, you know. It's fucking great, try the burrito. It's a Chinese restaurant. Yeah, it's a fusion, you know. Just lie to people. One of my proudest moments, man, I'm going to show this apartment, and there were certain landlords who, you know, didn't run their own credit. So again, I'm not going to say we'd used to George Santos people's financial credentials and things like that, but
you just want the fee so bad. You're like,
there was some landlords that wouldn't run their own credit. So I wouldn't Photoshop stuff. I'm just saying
it could be done.
What seemed like somebody who would never get approved, somehow, miraculously, with certain landlords who didn't get their financial stuff directly from them, people would get approved. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, anyway, one of these landlords, a kid who, you know, his finances weren't in the best shape. Like we wouldn't just flat out move people in who couldn't pay. Because then it's like, all right, well, now they will stop working with you if you're just flat out moving in.
Yeah. Gotcha.
If you're just making up people out of thin air and they're constantly getting evicted.
But you definitely have a pay stub that shows you can pay. That's a different story.
Well, right. Yeah. Or close. Like, because some of the landlords, especially especially if we're talking Manhattan, mm-hmm. they're so crazy where it's like, you need to make 80 times rent in 1 year.
And you got to be liquid 6 months rent? Are you
insane? Yeah, and it's like, dude, oh yeah, let me just find Rockefellers only to move into these places. Yeah, right. You know
what
I mean?
How they
and,
do that, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I would look what they're paying for rent. I had just come from Iowa, and it was a total midnight cowboy moment where I would just look at it. $3,000 for a one-bedroom, and that Harry Styles song would play in the background. I'd be like, what? This is to buy it, right? This is for the whole year. Like,
someone just hands you a tiny cowboy hat and right. around the neighborhood.
Dude, it was awful. But anyway, I'm going to show this guy. He was pretty young. You know, this apartment, you could tell he had gotten shot down by a lot of places. Oh, those yeah. were always my favorite. Because yeah, then it's yeah, like, sure. okay.
Oh,
he,
just disheartened, just totally yeah, defeated. Uh-huh.
It's, I like them when they're at their lowest. I don't like you at your beginning in your circuit. Yeah.
You get to do your speech. You yeah. get to lie to him and they uh-huh. believe it.
He's like a yeah. bookie.
Yeah. That's right.
I just like
Ursula from The Little yeah. Mermaid.
I want to see somebody that has the look in their eyes as somebody at a 12-step program. You know what I mean? Getting that poker chip on day one.
Get that 30-day yeah. chip.
He's literally got 1 day left before yeah. he's homeless.
That's right. That's right. That's when I know I got a sale. I'm getting a commission check out of this kid. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Just wait at the bus stop.
Yeah.
He's at Penn Station. Hey, looking for a place? Look a little down in your luck, pal.
Low rent.
He's on a watch from his fucking uh-huh. credit check.
That's right. That's right. That's right. This dude would blow somebody to get the fee. I'm getting a fee. But I get there. And I had shown this apartment before, there were this building, so I knew it pretty well, and they'd just leave the vacant ones unlocked. I knew something was up when it was locked, and then I'm knocking on the door, and I'm like, oh, God. I hear a voice, hey, 1 second, sorry, you know, and I'm like, oh, shit. This crackhead lady opens it up, you know what I mean? Yeah. And she's lively, you know? Oh, she yeah, wasn't, yeah. like, coming down at all. Oh, she yeah. was...
She was at peak.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, peak crack.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. She's like, oh, cool company.
Yeah. It was great.
Yeah, that's the more you want. It was great. After you just yeah. smoked a rock.
She's just, like, yeah. untying an apron. She's like, oh, uh-huh. you're here.
Dude, I rented this kid an apartment with a crackhead in it.
Yes.
yes.
So,
all right, he said yes.
So you, what
he
do you
said
say
yes.
No, 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 oh, go back. What do you say to her when she opens the door, though?
She, I'm sort of
Are
just.
Are you playing it like she yes. lives there?
No.
So this
she, it was
know?
Very obvious that she did not live there because there was no furniture or belongings at all except for her socks moving. And underwear, which were on the radiators. And it was very obvious this was a homeless crackhead. This was not someone with a residence. It was very obvious what happened.
I love you. Like, you know, she's actually already kind of been moving as she's mm-hmm. waiting to get her last day.
Yeah.
She's just like, this is what she does.
No, it's not what's going on. We couldn't even see
Wouldn't
the
even fake that.
Yeah. We couldn't even see the bath. We go in there and she's like, yeah, hey, sorry about that. I was just getting stuff out of here. I'm just kind of between places right now. But this is it. And she starts pitching the apartment for me.
Oh, she's made the sale.
This is it. Yeah. This is a really good apartment, man.
Oh.
This is a really nice one. I ain't stayed in this one and this nice for a while. Look at this view, man. This is a great view. This is beautiful.
The water pressure's fantastic. Yes.
You should have gave
Look how hot this radiator gets. It's nice.
I would have taken her with me on every
Oh,
call.
My
Just
God.
Every time you make Just a pick, about 10 bucks.
Yeah.
She was great.
Oh,
it would, dude, God. Yeah, we're going to get matching suits like the Rain Man. You're going to be my crackhead Rain Man. You should definitely rent this apartment, man.
Every one you're going to show the night before you sneak her in.
That's right.
It's a very good apartment.
That's right.
Very
good
apartment.
Make notes. I'll see you in the morning. Yeah. We'll do the same bit.
Dude, we couldn't even look in the bathroom. She was like, oh, the bathroom's kind of, I got some stuff in there. And she just pulled the door closed.
We can't sleep. Okay, as a former crackhead, what do you think she has in there?
Oh, just her shit.
Oh yeah,
you
yeah.
Think she's it's got just all like, bags of shit.
Yeah, she's got like
bags of trash.
She's got all kinds
there.
Of stuff. Yeah,
yeah.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah. It's garbage that she carries around. Yeah,
trash in there.
For
Isn't
sure.
Crazy, you can still be a hoarder as a homeless.
Well,
because they do carry around a lot of.
They're
lot
getting
of
greedy.
Trash.
These homeless. I'll say it. I'll go full Fox News
much,
right now.
They're getting too much of this.
They're getting greedy.
The minute they call the house insecure. You thought you had a voice. You're a fucking homeless.
That's right.
This younger generation of homeless, they don't. Uh-huh. They got it so easy.
Yeah. Once you start calling them unhoused, they get all uppity. They start carrying around too many bags. That's right. Tucker Carlson was right about that.
I just thought you knew it was trash. Like, how many times have you been in, like, a vacant apartment smoking crack with other homeless crack people, even though you weren't homeless?
I've done it.
Because you weren't homeless. You roll with, like...
fancy crack people?
I'm usually outside. Yeah. Usually homeless people outside. I haven't been in like, you're getting robbed in one of those places. If there's too many people around that you don't know,
you'll get robbed. Yeah, someone's going to do it.
I've never smoked crack in like an abandoned place, but I've done it in like, you know, shitty apartments and shitty trailers back home.
Oh, you smoked crack before?
Oh, yeah, it's fun.
It's fantastic.
Whoa, how'd you quit?
The best.
Oh, I just did it casually. You know what I mean? I just smoked it socially.
Who's able to do crack casually?
If you just do it every now and then.
Just study your brain.
Well, dude, here's what I don't like. Here's what I like. As somebody who kind of likes crack, not anymore. I'm like a grown up and shit, but I don't mind if Mitt Romney gets on me for smoking crack. That's fine. He's a Mormon guy. He's dead sober. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If someone's doing a line of basically the same thing without baking soda, I will not be shamed by them.
Exactly.
I will not be shamed.
I agree, but it's this. I heard you correct me if I'm wrong. I've never done crack before. I've done a lot of drugs, but never crack. The smoking part makes it more addictive than the snorting.
Yeah, it gets you. It feels better. It doesn't last as long, but it's a better high. I mean,
it's the whole. Here it is. But my whole thing. It's the whole ride condensed into 15-20 minutes.
Right.
It's that whole ride of that line. Like a line, you'll get it like an hour and a half, maybe. You know,
no, less than that. I don't know. They step on shit so much. A good one. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm talking about good drugs.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same deal with shooting cocaine too. I mean, it's kind of a similar thing.
You get that feeling.
Yeah.
For 15 minutes.
You get it. I
all
mean, shooting
in one
it is
little...
even quicker, I think.
I mean, have you ever done crystal meth?
Yeah.
That is.
That's, yeah.
Yeah, I got my.
I've never shot that, but I've smoked it and I've snorted it.
I got a lot of family.
Like crystal, not like crank. We used to do crank when I was a kid, and then I didn't find crystal until I moved to New York.
Right.
I was like,
I never did a ton of it, honestly, growing up. It was just every now and then.
Same
with smoking.
Heroin's one thing, but because I have so many family members that are addicted to meth and watching them be actively addicts for 20 plus years.
Because
you don't die.
Yeah.
You don't die. No. You lose your teeth, but you don't die, and the high lasts forever, and it's cheap. Ish.
Yeah. Crystal meth lasts so long. It's amazing.
It does, man.
Longer.
People
last than like crack.
People will stay up for days. Like the friends that I knew that got like really, really bad into it would stay up for days and days and days and days. And I mean, sometimes, you know, weeks on end. And you start going crazy from the sleep depth too. And the paranoia would get them so bad to where they would just, you would run into them in the middle of a fucking bender. And they would be telling you like, I'm getting followed around because you see lights in the sky that are, planes
sleep deprivation,
or whatever.
Hallucinations on its own.
Dude.
You know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it might not even be a light that's even there.
Yeah,
but they would constantly think there was helicopters following them as if.
Helicopters? Because even people who ever coked, like just up a long time, like Goodfellas, like I'm seeing helicopters. Yeah. That's like a normal thing I've heard addicts talk about.
Well, with Hank Hill.
That's
it
real.
Really was helicopters. because here's the
one guy that was right.
Yeah. Well, but here's the thing. There's a lot of guys that are right, but they're dealing with thousands and thousands. And it's like, bro, do you know how expensive helicopter fuel is?
No,
these fucking
you.
These dirty Iowa crankheads thought that a fucking helicopter, that a team of guys was gonna zip line down from a helicopter talking about red team, this is blue team. We have the 8-ball. I say again, we have the 8-ball. Call up the SWAT team. We have the $200 worth of crank. Yeah, send the second chopper back to base. It's fine.
It's just people's egos are so massive.
It's fucking nuts.
It's hilarious to me how important people think they are.
Oh, well, that's part of like the high.
The high, yeah.
That's part of the high. Because
I've done coke before, and you're like, I'm the fucking greatest dude that ever lived. It like takes all of your ego and just trumps it to a level that you're like.
I got religious with it at points in my life where I'm like, dude, I'm the next Jesus Christ.
Eddie, Jesus Christ, the guy with So have you ever been high on meth or crack and went to a job and had to work? Or is it just for you recreational where you only did it like on a Saturday night, not a school night?
Yeah, I think I would have gone to, in high school, I probably would have done it. Yeah, I would have done it on coke or meth a couple times.
Yeah.
I almost burned down a Pizza Head on acid once.
A Pizza Head?
What's
Pizza
that?
Head. I'm so dumb. A Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut. Just
some Iowa shit. I don't know about
that. Pizza Head. That actually sounds like a good pizza.
Pizza Head? I ain't never had no Pizza Head.
No, these Pizza Heads are fucking legit.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah. It's nuts. It's the Midwest. People are big back there. It's like dick in the box, but you know what I mean? With a little extra toppings. No, I went to, I'd been up tripping all night.
I love and Pizza Hut, by the way. I loved it as a kid.
Oh, dude, yeah. I mean, with the deep dishes and all that.
For sure.
So I worked there in high school, and it was just a little, like, takeout place. You know what I mean? Really have, like, not the eat-in restaurant.
Yeah, those kind of went away, like, mid-90s.
Yeah, those were fun.
Those were fun.
That's what I'm talking about, the huts.
Dude, I worked at one called Gumby's Pizza, like, after the warehouse, and that was a fuck ton of fun. Because, really? Dude, we would get high and drunk all the time, and it was great.
You were a waiter?
But, no, a delivery driver.
Oh, shit.
It was great. Dude. It was great. Yeah, it was, yeah.
Have you been seeing these videos? We'll go back to this. Sidebar. Have you been seeing these videos? Some are actually real, of, like, sex content makers will answer the door. Like, people who live in Iowa, like, women that are making content. And they will actually open the door naked.
Yeah,
the pizza guy.
That's right. And we had a rule at Gumby's.
Sometimes it's very real because they want to catch the real reaction.
We had a rule at Gumby's. We don't care how late the orders are. If someone's willing to fuck you while you're delivering.
It even happened then?
You can call in and the boss would be like, yeah, go ahead. You know, I never did it. The code word
I got a Gumby 101.
I'm going to get my dick sucked. There was no need for codes at that place. It was a degenerate. It was like a frat house, but it was people who were too dumb to go to college. So we delivered pizzas.
It really does happen from time to time.
There was one driver did it. Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
There's a comic I know. She banged a FedEx guy.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's amazing.
If it was a UPS, I'd judge her.
Those jobs are so disgusting. Shitty. Can you imagine? I took a job at Victoria's Secret thinking that I get laid a lot. Remember, we talked about this.
Yeah.
And that's a similar thing. Like, one time in the 50 years you work at FedEx or the fucking mailman gets laid. I mean, I don't know.
You're better off just getting high and drunk at Gumby's and driving around.
That's right. That's right.
Eat the shitty pizza and get drunk.
Dude, I remember getting that job. I went in to fill out an application because a friend of mine worked there. And I kind of knew the boss loosely from high school. Like, she went to the regular one, and I went to the high school for dropouts and junkies and stuff. You know what I mean?
What's a charter school?
They called them alternative schools.
Alternative schools.
So they called it a trade school or the tech. They used to call it tech.
Wow. It was the opposite of that.
Where you would go to learn how to be like a plumber or a
farmer. No, that's a trade school. That's something different. This was a high school for if you get kicked out of the regular one, you go to this one.
You get like three chances, and they put you in a place that's like, they call them magnet schools, I think.
A bunch of us did have ankle bracelets regularly, including myself, while we were at school. And we had POs picking us up. The PO man.
Instead of your mom and dad.
The PO man would come and pick us up and take us to like
a fucking meat wagon.
Yeah.
All right, kiddies.
Pulled up the soccer practice. Now, veteran, let's go.
After we'd get out of juvenile detention, we'd be in kind of like almost like a halfway out situation where we'd just have an ankle bracelet. And we could go home, but we couldn't go home right after school. The PO van would pick us up and take us to this like National Guard armory or something, and we would just like people would yell at us like we were in the army while we did homework. But we didn't have any homework because it was a degenerate school for dropouts.
We're not going to think about some things and bring your thoughts
back. Yeah, yeah. Like, the alternative school for dropouts, we didn't do homework. You know what I mean? So they were just like, then yell there, then sit there and think about how you're not going to go back to detention, you little piece of shit. And we're like, all right, fine. You know, and that's just what we did.
So how'd you burn down the Pizza Hut?
Oh, I almost did. I'd been up tripping all night. And so that day I was like, well, I don't want to have Jell-O brain all day, so I'm just going to take more acid, you know?
Oh, right, yeah.
And I ended up taking way too much, and I was just tripping all day long through school.
What were you seeing?
Just
colors?
Mostly color. I don't know. A lot of the visuals with acid and stuff, like, I don't see a lot of, like, actual physical objects
You see colors, right?
Yeah, a lot.
Like at night, though.
And in the shadows, you tend to see more
darkness,
weird shit.
Darkness, you'll see more stuff.
Yeah.
During the day, it's just the feeling of like,
you see a lot of trails and colors.
I am not
a
normal part of society.
Even when you are so fucked up, you're seeing objects that aren't there. You're so mentally disoriented by that point that the objects are like not even a fraction of what's going on.
But you're still functioning at a level where you could sit in class and make it to the next class, though.
Yeah, okay. I did it. There was a period in, I want to say, the sophomore year of high school or the junior, one of those, where for about 6 to 8 months. I was doing acid on average like every other day.
Oh, wow.
And I was taking a lot of acid.
You were experienced.
Yeah, I was taking a lot. Mm. But this day was still even a little too much for me. I really overdid it.
Yeah.
I overestimated how hard I was going to trip off these fucking blotters I took.
Well, I'm sure you took a lot, because the thing about acid is you take it every other day, because otherwise it doesn't work. Oh. So to get it to work, you would have to
take... You got to take like 2-3 times.
Yeah,
really have to fucking take a lot the next day.
Yeah.
But I did that before I, like, as the peak was coming down, I was like, if I just kind of, I could keep the peak
just
going.
Drag it out. Yeah,
and I'll just take maybe twice as much as I did. And I was like, whoa, now I'm just blasted. Yeah. Completely gone.
Yeah, fresh start.
And it was, but I was tripping so much that I was kind of used to just,
you're good at it.
You do any, even like hard, like hallucinogens, if you take them enough, you will be able to function on. A decent amount of
10,000 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
Malcolm Gladwell said it best.
Exactly. And those things last like 8 fucking hours. You know what I mean? So you get there quicker.
You're talking about like a couple weeks. Yeah. You know what I mean? You get good.
I was a tripiologist by my sophomore year in high school. That's right. And so I go all through school like that, and I start coming down off the peak as I'm getting to work, and I haven't eaten in over 24 hours. So and you don't feel hungry on there, like the physical, but when it really starts to hit you, you're like, oh, this is like debilitating.
It's everything at once.
We would keep the pizzas that were already cooked on top of the oven, and I see there's one up there, but it's from like way earlier in the day, and I'm like, this needs to be reheated. And we had one of those conveyor belt ovens, and so the normal method for reheating those was take it out of the cardboard box and put it on something else. I just put the cardboard box to the oven, and
that's not the Vivera way.
Yeah. Like, let's just skip the middle, man.
I'll eat the box.
I'm just so out of it. I just shoved a cardboard box in the pizza oven.
And you fuck the oven for the rest of the day. They gotta like clean it. It smells like cardboard.
Yeah. And dude, I'm over washing dishes or something.
You went to the task.
It's out front smoking a cigarette.
Dude, I just
tripping responsible.
I put it in and I walked away. And then I hear somebody go, I smell something burning. What is that? And then almost like the little sobriety voice, kind of the voice of Ring kicks in and be like, Jake, you're a fucking moron. You know, and I was just like, but I've been on all the drugs. You can't listen to every little thing your brain tells. You know what I mean?
Plus that voice is quite so quiet.
It's
the most meek voice.
Yeah.
Like a 50s housewife.
Yeah.
Jake, hon, I don't think you might have burned. Shut up, bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, right. If I listened to every little thought I had on this much acid after this long, I'd have my own cult right now in the fucking desert, and I'd be trying to, you know, stab actresses or something. Like, you can't listen to all those voices or you go full Manson, you know? I'm trying to stay in the
Manson
writing
filter
for the Beach Boys level of Manson and not the, you know? And so I'm just going to ignore this voice. The burning has nothing to do with me. And then I who the fuck put a box in the oven? And I'm like, no, that was me. That's right. No, it was me. I should have listened to that voice. Know? Yeah, that voice. Hey, broken clock is right twice a day. You know what I mean?
You got me.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, and I've been up for days. So here we go. And I was like, it was me. Sorry, I forgot to take it out of the box.
I thought you admitted to it.
Oh, yeah, that's the best part. Oh, yeah, that's mine. Is that still good? I am starving.
Did it get warm?
No, this twat took it out of the oven before it heated up. So, but then, you know, she's all like, assistant managers who was a real twat.
They always are, because they want to be the head.
Yes.
So any little power, now I got leverage and I got authority over you.
Yeah. Ooh. The head guy was pretty cool.
Yeah,
I mean, we would
that's
get
usually
high and drunk, even though I was like, you know, a teenager and shit. So he was
isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing?
Jobs, he's like, the only place he feels cool is at that job.
Adults
with
just
you.
Getting fucked up with children.
Yeah. And then you look at those adults with your kids, you're like, it's the cool ones. It's one of the good adults. And you look back at it now, it's like, hey, I probably should have been in jail.
Yeah, that guy's a real piece of shit.
Yeah, yeah. And it's
put me in some compromising position.
Right, yeah. But then so she like writes me up, and she's like, "This is an official write-up.
Oh,
this goes on your permanent record, like a pizza." Yeah. Like, oh, Christ!
I've done 50 tabs of acid.
Yeah,
I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care at all. And she's like, "Ed, if you get 3 of these, you can get fired. And tomorrow,
if you get 20 of these,
right.
you could be reprimanded and then fired."
Yeah. She sounded like Joe Biden trying to score Netanyahu. You know what I mean? It's like, how dare you bombing way too many people? I'm giving you $20 billion. But if you keep this bullshit up, BB, yeah, there's going to be way less billions in the next check,
let
you
me
motherfucker.
Find out you didn't put the lights on. I'll fucking leave where I find you, motherfucker.
That's right. That's right. It was, she was like, yeah, she was Joe Biden talking to Netanyahu. That's pretty much what was happening. It was, and she's like, and tomorrow you have to talk to the GM. And I was just kind of like, oh, the GM's not going to give a fuck. I can hide with that guy. Yeah, so I'm expecting, well, he's gonna be like, all right, we need to talk. Stop getting so high, you almost burn the place down. But seriously, that's kind of funny. I thought that's what he's going to be like. I walk in the next day, he just sees me and instantly goes, I heard about you, man. I heard you put a cardboard box in the oven and almost burned the place down. I was like, yeah. He goes, I thought you was bullshitting. What were you on, man? I was like, acid. I was on acid. He goes, holy shit.
Jake, tell us where people can find you. You had a special you just filmed.
It's
not titled yet, but we heard a lot of cool shit about it, so I can't wait for that to come out. So.
Yes, I talk about the time I OD'd on dog medication, actually, when I was a teenager. So,
we didn't get to that one.
No, we didn't. We didn't. Well, it didn't happen at work, so, you know. You can find me.
Worm medication?
Dog. Well, now, to be fair.
Ivermectin.
Yeah. No.
Way before it was cool.
Exactly.
It was cool.
Exactly. I'd have a huge podcast if I'd have done that, you know, now. No, here's the thing. CNN didn't need to spin it at all. There wasn't like a people version for fevers. This was for a gland that humans don't even have. Now, it was, to be fair, I also was taking like Oxycontin and Valium and like Xanax and drinking. But like the dog medication was because I got made fun of mercilessly by the other kids who OD'd on people medicine when I was in rehab. It was, they were real dicks. You can see the rest. You can see the bit about it. Watch the bit about it when the special comes out. Watch the bit about it. Yes, I am at Jake Vever on all socials. The special should be out hopefully end-ish of this month, sometime next month. So keep an eye for it.
Perfect.
But yeah, amazing. This has been great, man. Awesome, thank you, dude, for having me on.
JoshRicardo.com at Josh Ricardo. We are going to be in Houston at Megaton Brewery doing a live podcast of Working Class Holes on May 10th, Friday, 7 p.m. And then we're doing two shows on May 11th at Megaton Brewery, stand-up comedy shows at 7:30 p.m. and 9:30 p.m. And also, we're going to be on tour in June throughout Connecticut, Seattle, all that stuff. So just go there and buy tickets.
Go there. Follow us on Instagram, Working Class Holes. Go to email us at workingclasscomedians@gmail.com. Follow me at Ed McGowan Comedy. We'll see you guys again next week.
You can listen to us on all major podcast platforms every Wednesday. You can follow us on Instagram at Working Class Holes. Also, make sure you watch the full show on YouTube. All you got to do is type in Working Class Holes. And please don't forget to rate us 5 stars and tell a friend. Come on.